I was one of the people who I believe the Prime Minister referred to as sitting in their lounge room. I was watching it on TV. I just dropped the kids off from school, made myself a cup of coffee and settled down to watch the whole thing.
How did you feel settling in to watch it?
Again, at first, I think I was feeling quite removed. I thought, oh, okay, here we go, some politicians talking and giving the whole situation lip service, making themselves look like they really cared. So I guess I was a little bit cynical to start, but curious to see how it would all pan out.
So how did it pan out for you?
Very differently, actually. I was very moved. The address was very personally addressed to me as a survivor. That really came across. And I do thank the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition, Bill Shorten, for their speeches, because I did feel they were heartfelt, even though they were rehearsed. I was especially moved when the Prime Minister mentioned his two daughters and how he couldn't imagine what it would be like to have to go through an experience like that in his family. Of course, there was a lot said, a lot of words, but there were two very powerful messages, and they came across very clearly from both the leaders. I remember in particular Bill Shorten saying, "It wasn't your fault." And I did cry at that point. And the other thing that he said was, "You matter. You matter to all Australians." And again, that really went straight into my heart. When the apology happened and I was sitting there alone, I didn't feel alone. I felt that I was very much a part of the huge group of survivors who have either spoken or not spoken in public, not in public, who are still yet to disclose what's happened to them. I felt that I was part of a very big family of survivors. And I also, like I said before, I felt very directly spoken to by the leaders of the Australian Parliament. And that was very meaningful for me.
Why is it meaningful to have that feeling that you have been spoken to?
Because when you grow up in a situation where you have been made to feel belittled, that you don't matter, that you're just an object for someone else's use, that you have no feelings that need to be acknowledged, that your thoughts don't matter, and that you're basically insignificant. However, you're useful to that person or to that organisation because of what you can provide. And, you know, I hate to be blunt, but if that's physical or sexual services or some other kind of servitude, you are raised to believe, deeply, deeply believe, that you don't matter, that your voice is not important, that you're insignificant, and that you can't be seen. So to have that sensation of having the leader of two of the leaders of the Australian community speaking directly to you in that way, it's quite transformative, actually.
What change do you think that this will lead to?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about the nuts and bolts and the practicalities of what is going to follow the apology, and rightly so. Apologies are very important. I know there's a few different opinions on that. From my perspective as a victim and a survivor, it's extremely important for all those reasons I just said, to be seen, to be heard, to be taken seriously. However, yeah, I think it's the beginning, I hope it's the beginning of taking all child safety issues totally seriously and putting money behind that and putting resources behind that and putting that to the forefront. Even today, we still don't have that. We have underfunded Department of Human Services in every state. They always seem to be the last to get the money when the budgets come down, and it's not okay. We need to put kids right up there, number one. An apology is a nice stage show, and a lot of money would have gone into that. However, what's going to come next?
Is there any indication as to what might come next?
Look, I hope so. I listening to the apology today, and there was mention of a National Office of Child Safety. I hadn't actually heard of that myself, and so I thought, well, for starters, everyone should know about a National Office for Child Safety. There should be very clear guidelines around. See, I'm not even across the role of that national office, but say if I was maybe a 14 or 15 year old girl and I might have just been assaulted, I wouldn't quite know where to go.
But that was you.
Exactly. And so from those days to these days, I'd have to say, even though there's a lot of services provided, it's all a bit piecemeal. There's bits and pieces all over the place, small groups that start up and then don't get refunded over time. And so there needs to be a very solid and very clear pathway for that we're all aware of, that young people, children, adult survivors can safely know, I can go to this spot or this place or this telephone number and I will be on the right path to getting the help I need, the support I need, be it legal, be it psychological support, anything like that, and that I will be looked after and I will have my needs addressed and I'll be heard and my story will be heard. So there's no real clear one pathway for that at the moment. And maybe it's a pipe dream, but that's what we need.
What about compensation? Was there any discussion about that in the apology today?
There has been a lot of discussion about the redress scheme in the support site that I am part of. That was a while back and it seems to have faded away a bit. I think there's a lot of talk about it today, and yet it seems to be very, again, piecemeal, hasn't been quite thought through, hasn't been... There's no real solid outcome, so there's no surety, say, for somebody like myself who is in one way eligible, but there's no... It's very unclear about whether I can go to the redress scheme, exactly what I have to do, how much I will get and when I will get that. Now, I'm not in that position right now. I took the path of suing the organisation that was responsible for my care when I was a child, and that was a horrible battle and it ended not greatly, but there was some compensation received. It's not clear to me where that fits in with the whole redress scheme. And it sounds, if I'm speaking about it, anytime victims speak about money, there's this thing in the back of their mind going, oh, you're so greedy, oh, you just want it for the money, or you're just making up stories. You would be surprised how many people do believe that. It's not about that. It's just about, look, this was a significant wrong, and it needs to be righted. And for myself, for others, there just needs to be very, very clear and specific pathways and outcomes. And if that's financial, then it should be there. And it should be clear what people are entitled to. The work is just now beginning. This can't happen again. We must look after our kids so much better. And there are so many kids at risk right now. Let's get on with the job.